The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. Today, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's love in his series, The War is Over. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm beginning a brand new series talking about what I have entitled, The War is Over. And, you know, I am really excited about this teaching. I have to tell you that I'm excited because I don't act real excited. And I've had to tell people before, and they said, well, I'm glad that you told me. So, anyway, it may not show a lot on the outside, but I tell you, this teaching has to be one of my favorites just because it really is presenting the grace of God, how that God has totally dealt with our forgiveness of sins. And I have seen the effect that this has had on people, and I am really, really excited about this. As a matter of fact, let me just make a mention that we not only have the CD set entitled The War is Over, but we also have a brand new book that is being released entitled The War is Over. And we have this study guide, which, as you can tell, is a very thick study guide. And one of the reasons that we've started producing these study guides is so that people can take this teaching and, of course, it'll help you to study it yourself, but it's specifically designed to help you teach Sunday school or Bible studies. There is a CD-ROM in the front that you can actually print the entire book or each lesson, so that if you, say, had 10 or 15 people that you were taking through this thing, you could print out that lesson. Every person could have a copy of it. And we have been getting great responses about how this is helping people to take these truths and share them with other people. So again, this is a brand new book that we have released, and I am really excited about this. I'd like to encourage everyone to please get the book and the study guide and the CDs. They'd really be a help to you. And I believe that this teaching is going to make a powerful, powerful impact on you. I can promise you this, that if you take this teaching and if you listen to it and study it, one of two things is going to happen. Either you are going to be very upset with me because I'm countering a lot of tradition in the body of Christ. And you'll either get upset and reject it, or if you receive this, this could radically change your life. And, you know, it's amazing to me how much people resist change. They just say, well, this is the way it's been done. You know, my great-great-great-grandfather or whatever believed this same thing. And they are just, in a sense, in this rut. They are bound in tradition, and yet they don't like the results that they're getting. And it's absolutely insane to keep doing the same thing and expect different results. If you would like to get better results, if you want to start having a vibrant relationship with God and seeing your prayers answered and walking in the power of the Lord, not only for yourself, but so that you could minister to other people. And if that isn't happening for you, then I can guarantee you somewhere you've got to change. And this teaching on The War is Over, I believe, will help you to make that change. So I'm really excited about this, and I want to encourage you to please go to the effort of getting these products. And if you can, listen to our program, because I believe that this teaching is just going to transform your life. Now, I want to start from the instance in Luke chapter 2 at the birth of Jesus. And I want to say up front that, you know, most of the time we only use these scriptures to create a certain mood around Christmas. And even though, you know, I enjoy the Christmas season, and I think it's wonderful that people, even secular people, are talking about the Lord at a certain time of the year, I'm not totally against that. But we are missing so much truth involved in these passages of Scripture if we only use them around a certain time of the year just to kind of create a mood. I want to take these verses that are often used only at Christmas time and share some wonderful truths with you out of this that I think could radically, radically change the way that you relate to God. So in Luke chapter 2, is the birth of Jesus. And specifically, I want to read this portion where the angels appeared unto the shepherds as they were keeping their flocks. This is in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Notice right there in that 11th verse that Jesus was born the Lord. He didn't grow into becoming the Lord. He existed long before he ever appeared on this earth in a physical body. But when he was born, a baby, he was Christ. That means the anointed one, the Lord, which is a direct reference to God. And in verse 12, it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying," and here's what I want to focus on, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." You know, the way that this is traditionally interpreted is that this is peace among men. Matter of fact, some of the translations will even say things like that, and they will translate this, that this was an announcement by the angels that there is now going to be peace on the earth among men. And that's the way that it's often presented. You know, there was actually one of our poets, very famous poet during the Civil War, who one of his sons was killed in the Civil War. And as it came up to Christmas time, he was playing off of this exact verse right here where the angels announced, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." And he wrote this poem that was turned into a song that I grew up singing. I'm sure that many of you did. And it goes, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carol play of peace on earth, goodwill towards men." And as you go through the verses, he says, "But hate is strong and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill towards men." And he was drawing on his own experience of losing a son. There was a war raging in the United States, and I mean massive casualties. And yet, here it was Christmas time, and he was just, you know, seeing the irony or the contradiction between this message that there is peace on earth among men, and yet here was this war raging. And he finally ended the song by saying, but I forgot exactly the wording, but "the evil will fail, the right prevail of peace on earth, goodwill towards men." And so he basically didn't ever answer the question. He just came to a place of where, "I don't understand it, but I think that, you know, eventually this is going to happen. It must be something that's going to take place in the future." And there's a lot of people that when they read this passage of Scripture, probably the majority of you watching this program have interpreted this verse that the angels were saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Jesus is going to come bring peace on earth among men." That's the way that this is interpreted. It's the way that it's applied. And this is probably how most of you have taken this. And yet, let me just make a bold statement that this is not what this is talking about. This is not prophesying that after the advent of Jesus, that there was now going to be peace on earth among men. I will say this, that those who receive the message and the forgiveness and the love, the relationship with God that is made available to us through Jesus, that certainly one of the byproducts is that people have forgiven other people. I'm sure that marriages have been healed, relationships have been put together. And one of the byproducts of Jesus coming is that no doubt there has been a great reconciliation, probably millions and millions of relationships spared and preserved that wouldn't have happened without the grace and the peace and the love that Jesus brought. So I admit that, yes, that is an effect, but this is not what was being prophesied. Jesus did not come to bring peace on earth among men. And to prove that, let me just take Jesus' own words. This is over in Matthew in chapter 10 and in verse 34. It says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Man, that's just as clear as you can get. Here is Jesus, the Prince of Peace, saying that I did not come to send peace on earth among men, but there is going to be division. Households are going to be divided. The father is going to be against the children, and the children against the father, and there's going to be division. And you could just look at history. If any of you have any perspective of history, since Jesus came, wars have not ceased. There has been tremendous conflict, even during the people who were alive when Jesus came to this earth. It was during many of their lifetime that the Romans came into Jerusalem in 70 A.D. and I mean just totally destroyed the city and overthrew it, and the Jews were dispersed. And there has been terrible wars. You know, just in the 1900s, of course, there was World War I, World War II. There's been the Vietnam War, the Korean War. And at the time I'm making these programs here, we are 2008, there are wars raging in Afghanistan and Iraq. And, of course, there's skirmishes all over the world. In my lifetime, I've seen Rwanda and Idi Amin in Uganda that have just annihilated massive amounts of people, hundreds of thousands of people, and terrible things going on. Anybody who has any perspective on history at all, there is no way that you can say that Luke 2:14, when it announced, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men," no one can say that that is talking about an end of war, an end of strife among people. It hasn't happened. Now, again, there's been some benefit and byproduct of that, but that is not what this verse is talking about. And Jesus himself said this wasn't his purpose to come and bring peace among men. All right, so what does it mean? Here's what I'm basing this entire series on, and we're going to go into a lot of detail talking about this. But this was not announcing the end of strife between people. It wasn't saying that the war is over between people. These were the angels announcing that God's wrath was going to be satisfied by placing that wrath and that punishment upon His Son. And they were saying that because of Jesus coming to this earth and bearing our sins, that the war between God and man was over. This wasn't announcing peace among men. This was announcing peace between God and man. Now, that is a major, major point. And again, there's two basic ways that people respond to this. There are some people that would respond by saying, "Well, I didn't know that there was war between God and man." And I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about this. This isn't going to be my major point. But there are some people that honestly just didn't realize how deadly sin was. They didn't realize the huge separation that it created between God and man and the wrath from God towards men. There are some people that sin has, it's never dawned on them how deadly it was and how much of an offense it was from God. But then there's other people that do recognize how deadly the sin is. They saw this huge chasm that existed between God and man because of our transgression, and they are very aware of that, and their reaction will be that, "But you're saying it's over." Most Christians today, I believe that the vast majority of the body of Christ today still sees this animosity, this anger from God towards man's sins. So it has to be one of those two reactions. Either some people are going to be shocked to think that, well, there was war between God and man. Yes, there was. And the Old Testament clearly portrays that. And we're going to go through, and I'm going to give you many examples of this. There was war. There was hostility from God towards men because of their sin. And then some people don't recognize that, but then the other people who do recognize that this hostility existed, the sad thing is most people don't know that that war is over. Most people are still fighting a war. Most people still feel that if they don't pray, study the Word, go to church, live holy, do certain things, that God isn't pleased with them. And He's going to express His displeasure in not answering your prayers. Or some people go to the extreme of blaming God and saying that these negative things that happen in our life, that this is God's punishment and God is doing this. The reason you're in the hospital is because you haven't paid your tithes, and so God put you in the hospital and took your tithes from you. You know what? That is still hostility. That is still proclaiming that the war is over. There's a lot of people who proclaim that every negative thing that happens in our life, this is God doing this to us. You know, I just read an article in a Reader's Digest. I won't go into any detail, but it was about a boy who is 15 years old, came home, found his father, mother, and two of his four siblings had been strangled and tortured, and their bodies were, their bodies were just mutilated, terrible things had happened. And he said in this article that I was reading in a Reader's Digest, he said that the moment he saw his mother dead and tortured like that, he says, at that moment, I hated God because God let this happen. And from that moment on, he began to start turning away from God. And then the rest of the story goes on that 30 years later, his life was just one problem after another, multiple relationships, children scattered all around, and he finally wound up in prison. And it turned out that this was one of the very first murders that they gave this person a name, the BTK, the Bind, Torture, Kill killer. And over a 30, 40 year period of time, he did this to many people, and this guy ultimately found out about it. But anyway, the article was presenting that, you know, because of the trauma, because of the way this affected him, he withdrew into himself and he struggled in school, and then he got fired from a job, and on and on. And they talked about all of these hardships and the trauma of those deaths. And even though I admit that that's a tragic thing and it's a terrible thing to happen, you know what I believe caused his life to go into a downward spiral is because he said himself, the moment he saw his mother tortured and killed, he hated God for allowing that to happen. God didn't allow that to happen. God doesn't control those things. And see, there is a large section of the body of Christ today that is still teaching that no, nothing can happen but what it's God's will. God has to permit and allow everything. And if you believe that, well, then you are going to come to the conclusion that the war is still on between God and man, because there are terrible, terrible things happening. And if you blame God for all of this, if you blame God for the Hurricane Katrina's, if you blame God for the terrorist attacks on the United States, if you blame God for the wars, when the Bible very clearly says in James chapter 4, he says, whence come wars and fightings among you? Don't they come from your own lust that war in your members? Man, the Bible very clearly says God isn't the author of these wars. Wars come because of people's own lust and desires, and because they will not yield to God. God is not the one that's controlling natural disasters and wars and things like this. But see, there's a large segment of the body of Christ that believe that He is. I remember when the September the 11th terrorist attacks, 2001, hit the United States, every one of the major religious leaders in the United States that I'm aware of, that I heard, came out and said this was God's judgment on America for taking prayer out of the schools, for turning away from God, for, you know, allowing homosexuality. And they begin to proclaim that this was judgment and punishment. You know what that's saying? That the war is still on, that God is angry, and that this is retaliation. In other words, we did this, and so God bombed us over here. God did this. You know, people may not phrase it this way, but really the average Christian today still believes that there is hostility from God towards them. You might phrase it differently. You may not put it into military terms and say that the war is still raging, but the truth is most people believe that there is still a battle going between God and men. And what I'm trying to do in this series, and what I'm going to do, and what I'm going to show you that these angels were proclaiming, is that the war is over. God is not the one who is punishing us and bringing judgment upon us. God is not the one who is causing this bitterness and this anger and this fear on the inside of us. You know, most of you watching, well, I can't say most. In my meetings, I say this often, that most of the people there believe in the supernatural power of God. It may not be actually true on television. Some of you may just be flipping through the dials and wondering what I've got to say. But in my meetings especially, most of the people that come out to these convention centers and hotels, they come to my meetings because they're fanatics. Because they believe that God does miracles and they're looking for something more. I mean, if all they were wanting to do is just do their religious duty, they just go to church on Sunday morning and that's it. It's over. But the people that come out to my meetings are either fanatics or they were drugged there by a fanatic. They believe in the miracle power of God. And if, you know, I give a testimony about how I've seen my son raised from the dead, I've seen other people raised from the dead. If I talk about that, most people would agree and say, oh, yes, brother, I believe that those things happen. Most people don't doubt God's ability. That is not the problem. They don't doubt God's ability to do whatever. If He's God, by definition, God can do anything. What they doubt is God's willingness to use His power on their behalf because they don't believe the war is over. They believe that God is holding our sins against us. They believe that unless they do everything just right, that God will punish them, either overtly through putting something on them, or He'll do it just by omission, by not answering their prayers and letting them stew in their juice. That's what most people believe. So I say, how many of you believe if somebody was to fall over dead, and if I pray for them, they'll be raised up? And again, most of the people, yes, amen. But you know where I lose nearly 90 to 100% of the people is I say, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray for this person. And all of a sudden, instead of this excitement and faith and anticipation, there becomes fear and unbelief and dread. Now, what happened? They didn't change what they believed about God's ability. What they changed is they don't have the confidence God will do it for them because they know them better than they know me. Sometimes you get to looking at a preacher and think, oh, you preachers, man, you know God and you have a special tract with God, which isn't true. But sometimes people form an opinion that God just hears us differently. But when I say you come up here and pray for them, fear comes into people instead of faith because they know they don't deserve it and they believe that God is withholding good from them, is punishing them because they aren't worthy. I'm telling you that war is over. God is no longer imputing our sins unto us. And I'm going to begin to share with you this teaching about how that there is now peace between God and man. Not just peace among men, but peace from God towards you. God is not imputing your sins against you. Sin is not the issue with God. And I know that some of these statements right here to the religious person is just like blasphemy. But I encourage you to get these materials. I encourage you to stay tuned because I'm going to share this so many ways I believe you will get it. Let me remind you once again that we got a brand new book on this, a new study guide on this, and I think that this teaching on the war is over is going to make a huge difference in your life. So please listen as our announcer gives you that information, and then join me again next time for the Gospel Truth.
The War is Over is available for the very first time in book form. In 190 power-packed pages, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's unconditional love. This new book can be ordered through bookstores nationwide, or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T326 when you write or call, or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. The War is Over Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T426 when you contact the ministry. This teaching is also available in a 5-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1053C or DVD album T1053D. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled Peace and Goodwill is also available. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TK128 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to encourage you to please get these materials that we're offering. I've got this brand new book as well as our study guide on The War Is Over. And I tell you, this teaching, I believe, has the potential of just transforming your relationship with God. This is a brand new book that's out, and I have seen people's lives changed by this, and so I want to encourage you to please go to the effort. Our announcer is going to give you information, and not only do we have that book, but we've got this study guide, which is specifically designed to help people teach Bible studies or Sunday school class. It would be great for you just to be able to really go through and study this teaching yourself. But listen as our announcer gives you this information.
You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Decatur, Texas on Wednesday night, November 12th, Fort Worth, Texas, November 13th through the 15th, and at Calvary Cathedral Sunday morning, November 16th. He'll also be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.